It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, walleye are one of the most important fish for Wisconsin's recreation industry and our fish fries, but a new study finds their habitats are dwindling. We'll find out what we know and how our fishing practices may need to change. First, being the parent of young kids is expensive, and one big cost is childcare. Nationally, one in five families spends more than 25% of their income on childcare, and in Wisconsin, it can be between $9,000 and $14,000 a year. That's according to data from the group Childcare Aware of America, which advocates for better access to affordable childcare. And now the issue is getting attention from at least one 2020 candidate for president. Here's Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat, talking on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert about her plan.
I put a proposal out for a wealth tax. That would produce, on the richest 75,000 families in this country, 2%. We could take that money and provide universal child care for every one of our children. Universal pre-K.
Hannah Matthews is the Deputy Executive Director for Policy at CLASP, the Center for Law and Social Policy. Hannah, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
What do we know about how much American families, on average, pay for childcare?
Well, we know that it is a lot. It is a huge cost burden for families. You mentioned in your opening the costs in Wisconsin can be $9,000, $12,000 for infant care. Here in D.C., on average, infant care is closer to about $23,000, $24,000. This is a tremendous expense for families. When we actually look across income levels, families that spend money on childcare pay a significant share of their household budget. And that's especially true for lower income families. For families that make under the federal poverty level, those that pay for childcare actually pay over 30% of their income on childcare. So this is a really significant cost for families.
Let's put that into an even bigger context. How do we compare here in the U.S. to other developed nations on the cost of childcare?
Well, other countries have larger public investments in young children more broadly, right? So they have more universal access to early childhood programs. They also have paid leave to support parents when they have a child or need to care for a child. So the U.S. has a long way to go in terms of supporting working families.
I think one of the confusing things about childcare is that it's often a large expense for parents, as we've been saying, but the people working in childcare are often making very low wages, often without benefits. Where does the money go? What is the breakdown there?
That's a really good point. What we have in childcare is just a real failure of the market. As you point out, childcare workers are earning poverty wages. And so if you really think about the kind of compensation that these workers who are doing a tremendously hard job, right? Any parent knows how hard it is to take care of a child, let alone to manage a large group of children. In fact, childcare should cost more if we were really putting the money in to make sure that those providers had decent compensation, had benefits that they often don't have. But we have a market failure. That is that childcare can't cost more because, as we just talked about, parents are already paying a staggering amount of their income to meet those costs. So what we need is a public investment that can actually support that building out of quality childcare and really make sure that we are investing in a system that supports the workers there, that supports children and families. Parents simply can't bear this cost burden alone.
And we'll go a little further on and we'll talk about those possible options. But I want to go back to that money because so we talked about that Wisconsin families are paying between $9,000 and $12,000. I assume that's per child childcare. But I also think that I saw that the average childcare worker in Wisconsin is making $22,000 a year. So it feels like there's a chunk of money that is not, it's getting lost somewhere in between the two.
Well, when you think about how labor intensive childcare is, it's not that there is many childcare providers are not actually operating and actually earning any kind of a profit. They're really operating in the red often. And so that is that if you think about the main costs in a childcare program are the labor costs, those personnel costs. And this is an area where you frankly can't save money, right? You don't want to have fewer teachers in a classroom. What we want in a quality childcare program is very low teacher and child ratios. You want small groups. These are very young children, right? They learn in the context of having individual attention from a caregiver. So personnel costs just take up a very large part of that individual childcare program budget. And as I said, there's just not enough money coming in, even though it seems like you're paying a huge amount of money, which it is for parents. But when we look at the system as a whole, it's just not sufficient, right? So it's the same idea that, you know, if you think of the K-12 system, you know, an individual family, what they would pay for one child, it's just you need support of the public investment there.
We're talking with Hannah Matthews. She's Deputy Executive Director for Policy at CLASP. That's the Center for Law and Social Policy. And we're looking at the struggle to find and support quality and affordable childcare. And as we said, there's the cost aspect, Hannah, but quality is also an issue here. How can we tell if a childcare program is providing high quality care?
So that's a great question. And I think this is something a lot of families struggle with, because it's not just affording care, but it's actually even finding quality care, even if a family were to afford it. This is an area where we have, again, as a country, not made a national investment to building the supply of quality care. We know what quality care is. I talked about the caregivers a few minutes ago. That's really what this comes down to. Children learn in the context of relationships with adults. And so those adults need to have skills and competency and understand early childhood development to truly support children's growth and learning.
So at the very basic level, it's making sure kids are safe, but there's a lot more that can be provided in a quality situation.
Absolutely.
And what do we know about who attends high quality childcare programs versus the ones that are much lower quality?
Well, I have to say that there's not a great deal of high-quality childcare. Even families who are paying a lot of money, upper-income families, have a hard time accessing quality care. Now, we do have one example of quality care that we have would be the Federal Head Start Program, which is a early childhood program for generally for 3 and 4 year olds, although some infants and toddlers. And what sets that apart in terms of quality are the quality standards that are there. So standards around the workforce, standards around what's happening in the classroom. So building on those, that health and safety regulations, but actually looking at what happens in the classroom and the kinds of supports that children are getting.
I'm guessing from a very large scale program like Head Start, we have some good data. Do we know how important it is that children are in quality childcare for setting them up for success down the road?
We actually have decades of research at how important this is. Quality childcare, again, care that meets a set of quality standards, regardless of what we're calling it, whether it's a Head Start program, a preschool program. We know that quality programs make lifelong difference for children. So they help kids with those early foundational skills that help them begin school successfully, get them ready to succeed. And we actually have decades of research that show that as adults, they actually have better employment outcomes, have greater earnings. We know that this is a really worthwhile investment.
I'm also guessing that having a very well-structured and supported program is also a benefit for the parents, not just in how well their kids are being taken care of, but in probably not having to rush away from work because suddenly the child care provider isn't available or other things that would be disruptive to a working parent.
That's right. So child care is a support both for children and for parents. For parents, it makes sure that they have the ability to have more stable employment. As you said, they're not losing out by having to deal with unstable care, which can often leave a parent, arriving at work late or having to turn down work. Parents who have stable child care tend to have higher earnings. They have more stable employment. And again, their whole economics are improved over time, which that also is a win for children, right? We know that when families are more economically stable, it's a support to children as well.
We're talking to Hannah Matthews of the Center for Law and Social Policy about ways to make quality childcare more affordable. And you can join in at 800-642-1422. 1234. How much have you paid for childcare? Was the cost manageable for your family? And if not, what did you do? Was it difficult to make room for it in your budget? And has the cost of childcare affected your life decisions? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about the cost of childcare in the U.S. and Wisconsin specifically. Hannah Matthews is the Deputy Executive Director for Policy at the Center for Law and Social Policy, also known as CLASP. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How has the cost of childcare affected you or your family's lives? If you've used childcare, how hard was it to find affordable and high-quality care for your child? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can also tweet us at CentralTimeWPR. And Hannah, let's talk about some of the ways that there have been efforts to subsidize childcare to make it more affordable. What are those programs that are in place right now?
Sure. So the major program, it's called the Child Care and Development Block Grant. This is a federal program. It's a federal to state partnership, meaning the federal government puts in funds and states also contribute. And this is a program that is meant to both improve the quality of childcare, and it also is meant to subsidize the costs for low-income parents so that they can go to school or go to work. And this has been a tremendous important support for low-income families, for the ones that get it. The problem with the program is that it's been built on scarcity. This is a program that until last year, when there was a significant increase in funding, had actually been operating with near flat funding over the past decade. And so right now, it's about 1 out of 6 children who are eligible for the program actually get any help. So that's a large number of families, 85% of kids, right, who could be getting help from this program that aren't able to be served. And what happens in that context of scarcity is that states make a lot of difficult choices. So they can't raise rates that they pay to providers. They can't necessarily expand access. They have to make choices between monitoring for health and safety standards or investing in the training for caregivers. They have to choose amongst these priorities. And what we've seen across the board nationally and is what in Wisconsin as well is that we're actually are serving fewer children than we were back in 2006. And that's just because there simply hasn't been enough level of investment to continue to maintain that number of kids. So in fact, in Wisconsin, when we look at the numbers, we see that right now the program's serving just about 6% of those who are eligible to actually get help.
Let's go to the phones, and Jeff in Superior is up first. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, I respect this subject matter, and I think you're treating it very respectfully. I was one of the few men that they hired when I lived in Seattle. I worked for a year in a daycare center. We took care of kids from 6 months to a year old. And I basically formed the opinion that I think it's parents' responsibility to raise their children, not an institution or the government. And because when the kids bond with you as a healthcare worker, especially if you're a man, you begin to feel guilty about how the child loves you more than his own father. And I just think that really the government should stay out of families in this manner.
Jeff, can I ask you a follow-up question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm curious, even if with the best of intentions, a family wants to take care of their child within their family, within their own resources, what if circumstances change and there really isn't that option?
After the child's been born,
right.
I think they should make those plans before they decide to have children. I think that the world's overpopulated, and you know, child care is a very serious issue, and I think it should be a family issue. I really don't think government should be involved in it.
All right, thanks for that call, Jeff. Hannah, do you have a response?
Sure. So two thoughts on that. So the first is,
if we just look at the data and where we are as a country, we know that the majority of parents, the majority of mothers with young children are in the workforce. So childcare is an issue that is in front of us, regardless of the choices that, that families make. The second thing that I would say is that I do think that what policymakers and others are really beginning to understand is that childcare isn't just a personal issue or a family issue. There's actually lots of reasons for us to think about this as a country. Our country does better economically when parents have stable childcare, right? We talked earlier about the impacts on employment for parents when they're able to have steady care. And if we look at the strong research base on early childhood, we also know that, again, kids that are in quality care, these are foundational years. They lay a groundwork. They help them as they move forward. That makes a difference for our country, right? So as community members, when we think about the investments in this area, we know that kids who are getting positive experiences early, we're setting them up for success. These are the kids that will be our teachers, the doctors that we're going to need, the scientists. So we need our young kids to be nurtured and prepared for life. And the reality is that parents are working and kids are going to be in care. So I do think it's an economic imperative that we make sure that that care is of the highest quality and kids are getting the supports they need.
We're talking with Hannah Matthews from the Center for Law and Social Policy about the challenge in providing affordable, high-quality child care. Let's go next to Jessica in Watertown. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I was calling. I was just saying that I had to leave full-time employment to care for my son full-time because being on the autism spectrum, he was asked not to return to several places, and it just got to be too much of a burden to my workplace, and so I had to leave full-time employment to care for him. Thankfully, I did have supports financially where it wasn't a financial burden, but it was a burden for him since he didn't have, you know, he was an only child, so he didn't have other kids to play with and socialize.
Thanks for that call, Jessica. And I want to go right to Anastasia in Beloit because I think she has something to add as well. Hi, Anastasia.
Hi. I just, you know, compared to what that last caller had, a pretty similar experience. My son has cerebral palsy, and he has been asked to not return to one day care, and we essentially haven't been able to find him any other option that would be able to take him because he has both sensory and mobility needs. And so I would love to see, you know, more public investment just for the availability aspect of childcare. At this point, my husband works part-time and I work full-time because we haven't been able to find available childcare that will take care of our special needs son.
Thanks so much for both those calls, Jessica and Anastasia. And Hannah, that's a whole other dimension when children might have additional needs that would need to be met in childcare.
That's right. I mean, as hard as it is for all families to find affordable childcare, for families with children with special needs, it is just, as you heard from these callers, just even more challenging, not just in terms of the affordability piece, but having a program that will even take the child and be able to provide the kinds of services that kids might need. And I mean, your caller said it well, right? That the answer here is that families can't do this alone. So a public investment in childcare that makes sure that we have a childcare system that can work for all children is just critically important.
And Hannah, would it take some large-scale, big sweeping legislation or initiative to get some of these good results that we're after? Or are there ways to do this in a more piecemeal way?
Well, I think we are making progress in a piecemeal way right now. So what I would say is that the program that I described earlier, the Child Care and Development Block Grant, that actually got a very large boost in funding last year as a result of a bipartisan budget deal. It had a $2.4 billion increase. There is some sense that there may be some more dollars to come this year. And so that's a really good thing because it's helping to kind of stop that trend that I was describing of fewer children getting assistance. So it's moving in the right direction. But if we're really being honest about the scale of the problem, if we're only serving one out of six kids, then incremental
expansions each year are just going to take far too long to reach the millions of families that need help. So yes, it would take a major initiative. There actually is legislation pending in Congress that has gotten some attention, which would really be a fundamental overhaul of how we provide childcare in this country and make it affordable for all the families that need it.
Senator Elizabeth Warren, a Democratic candidate for president, released, as we heard earlier, a plan for affordable childcare. In fact, it would be free for many people, putting a tax on some of the richest families in the country. Leaving aside the politics of whether that would go anywhere, would that be a good model, that universally available government run and supported childcare?
So I would say there aren't a lot of details on the specifics of that plan, but absolutely. It is really exciting to hear a proposal that really speaks to the need for affordable childcare for all families. I would say from our perspective as an anti-poverty organization, we really are focused on making sure that the lowest income families have access to childcare. And one of the things that Senator Warren's plan does, as you mentioned, it would make the care free for many families, and then would have a sliding fee scale with so the largest subsidies would go to the lowest income families, and that parents would pay a little bit into that program as their incomes grow. So I think that's hugely important. And again, because it's proposing, just like the legislation that's in Congress now, the Child Care for Working Families Act, both of these proposals would just fundamentally overhaul the program so that we would be putting in the level of investment and public resources that are needed, both to make child care widely available and affordable for families, but also to build quality. And so built into both those plans would be supports to the workforce and other ways to really make sure that that quality care is there.
Well, Hannah, thank you so much for spending time with us today and sharing the information.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Hannah Matthews, Deputy Executive Director for Policy at CLASP. That's the Center for Law and Social Policy. She was with us today to talk about how much American families pay for childcare, including those of us in Wisconsin, and ways that we can improve access to it, access to not just affordable, but also high-quality childcare. You can keep the conversation going on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Are you currently paying for childcare? Has it been hard to find childcare, and has it been hard to afford it? How does it fit into your budget? What percentage of your take-home pay are you paying for childcare? And have you had to make choices, like some of our callers shared, of having to leave the workforce or having to split responsibilities for taking care of your children between you and a partner? Let us know what you're thinking by going to the Ideas Network Facebook page and let us know what you're doing for childcare.